Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Declarations of War CSM9 issue panel on Wardex. I am Alexei of Card, joined here by Ninja Turtle.
Hello.
And we have four CSM candidates for you today. And we also have Mangala Solaris. It was a bit last minute that we got Ali Arras and Mike Ezrai to step in because there was a bit of miscommunication. We thought Mangala might be missing this panel, but he did show up. We started it a bit early, a little bit inadvertently, and he showed up at the proper time. So we have hopefully masterfully edited him in here so you will barely notice. So we're going to go down the list, have the candidates introduce themselves, and then we'll get into the issues. First up is Ali Arras.
Hi, I'm Ali Arras. If you're listening to Declarations of War, you probably know me because I'm on all the regular shows. But I'm a candidate. I was a member of CSM8. I'm a candidate for CSM9, running on a platform primarily of new player experience stuff and the sort of gameplay of small and independent groups, including mercenaries, people in Nullsec, etc. And that has given me some thoughts on Wardex.
Cyan Ovyander.
Hi, I am a mercenary here in Noir with Alexiev, and I am running for CSM9, mainly to encourage people to have fun and take actions, to encourage people to do things in our game. Some of those things, including war decks, especially in high sec. And of course, Ali Arras is also a fellow mercenary with me in Noir.
Yeah, and about having the two Noir people on, it was not intended that way, but Ali and Mike were kind enough to step in. So we're not trying to stack these issue panels, just in the last panel we had Cyan step in for somebody who couldn't be there either. It's just that we want to make sure that these panels are worth it for you guys. We're trying to give you as many CSMs as we can while still keeping the content somewhat organized, so... apologies for the stacked deck, and would like to thank them for showing up for us on short notice.
I think I'll probably end up disagreeing with Cyan at some point anyway, but go on.
Oh, I'm sure. Speaking of the fill-ins, Mike Azariah.
I'm Mike Azariah, and right now I feel like a teddy bear in a tiger cage looking at a list of names here. I'm a casual player and represent casual play in EVE Online. I also am a high sec and pretty much a care bear, although occasionally I show that bears do have teeth and claws when I go riding with Bomber's Bar or Spectre Fleet, or just occasionally head south just because I feel like seeing how far I go before I go boom.
Mangala Solaris.
Hi guys, Alex, Ninja, thanks for having me. My name's Mangala Solaris. I currently fly with RVB and have been flying with RVB for 4.5 years of the 7 or so years I've been playing EVE now. Before I joined RVB, I was your typical high sec resident, you know, scared of his own shadow, minor missioner. I dabbled a little bit in PvP with the odd public realm back then, a little bit of faction warfare. Since joining RVB, I've become one of their key movers. I help organize their wartime efforts. I organize events for them, especially the largest NPSI weekly roam in EVE, RVB Ganked, which everyone should attend at least once.
And the much feared Psychotic Monk.
Hi, I'm Psychotic Monk, high sec content creator and pirate king. I am the head of the Belligerent Undesirables community of high sec content creation, and an advocate of things like Wardex, suicide ganking, AWOXing, scams, and theft. And those are some of the primary issues that I'll be running for CSM under.
All right, now let's get right into the discussion here. We have 5 questions, as per usual, for our past 2 issue summits. We feel like that format's going pretty good. Each candidate will have an opportunity to respond, and we'll alternate who goes first. First question. How do you see the current state of Wardex and the general state of Empire combat? Sort of a general, where do you stand on things as they are question. Ellie, go.
I think right now war decks are mechanically all right, but in terms of the stuff that they relate to, there's not enough going on. You have war decks often... war decks rarely... In theory, they can function as sort of organizational level conflict between, you know, someone who hates some people's guts and those people who are trying not to get killed. In practice, that doesn't happen as often, mostly because there's not as much community stuff going on in HiSec in general, which I think is an issue that should be addressed. In terms of combat in HiSec, it ends up being mostly like combat in LoSec, although your targets are limited to your war targets and there are some scouting differences. It's, I think, largely fine there, but the cultural aspect is significant.
Sion?
I largely agree with Ali. I think that they're in a decent place. They're obviously not perfect. And for me, it's... I think one of the main issues with it is that there's not really much incentive for someone who doesn't want to fight to really participate or engage in the war deck whatsoever. That it's more beneficial for them to ignore it completely, not play, not undock, or not stay in their corporation. And that's not really a good place. That's not a good result for the war decks. But mechanically speaking, for the most part, I feel like they're in a decent place right now.
Mike?
I agree with some of what you said, but mainly it's funny you say they're in a decent place and then talk about everything you say is nobody has a buy-in to a war. The victim can drop corp and remake another corp and flip in and out. There is no reason for the war decker to do anything after they declare war, so there are tons of since wars that go out there. There is no expectation that they have to shoot anybody or even do anything. And so there are little one-man corps that go randomly war decking. The groups that actually are serious about it go out and are killing, or mercenary groups that take war deck contracts in HiSec, that's great. But even they get the frustration of decking a Care Bear Corp and watching it just evaporate out from under them, and the Care Bears immediately reform their Corp 2.0 and continue on their merry little way. I'd like to see something that makes the war deck have to be acted upon from both sides more actively than just we can duck and run away and you can deck and not shoot a single thing and then just demand we'll make this go away if you pay us X hundred mil, which is a perfectly legal part of the game. Hey, extortion works and I got no problem with that, but if you're using the war deck mechanic just for that, there should be almost a chance of comeuppance for that. A lot of war decks favors the aggressor, not the defender, and I'd like things that put teeth that bite both ways.
Mangala?
That's a good question. Right now, I think that war decks are pretty crap. You know, to put not too fine a point on it, the war deck system, since changes made in Retribution and before that Inferno, they're pretty... You know, there is more war, but it's from the same parties more often than not. Be it groups like RBB, Marmite, you know, other Merc Corps in HiSec, and maybe the odd entity that actually
that
looks at the war deck
nameless
system like, oh, hey. Yeah, and like, oh, hey, yeah, we can war deck these people to make them do what we want, or, you know, to get this particular item off them, or because we don't like them. The system there is... There's just not many reasons, not many objectives to fight. I mean, Concord are this big, huge group that are meant to regulate warfare. Why isn't there more objectives for it? You know, objective-based warfare, shorter wars based on a particular set of criteria.
Mark?
Well, sort of along the same lines of a lot of your guys' opinions, I think the war deck mechanics would be roughly right in a sort of a different meta. They're the right tool in the wrong spot. like everybody else has touched upon, there are often often corpse will just completely evaporate and reform, or no one will do anything on either side. Some amount of this is fine. Some not doing anything on either side is okay, because the deck by itself isn't just a tool for combat, but is a tool for several other things, like threat of combat you'll find in other games. Like having pieces under threat can be just as valuable as having pieces being attacked, sort of a thing. I think the issue with war decks is actually secretly an issue with corporations. There is not enough ways to invest in your corporation, and not enough ways to make your corporation meaningful, which I think would be fine, except that we have a culture in which staying in your corporation, even if that corporation does nothing, is fairly well expected, and overall hurts players who, are stuck by social obligations doing nothing when they could be having a great deal of fun elsewhere.
I want to ask a follow-up here. Both Mike and Monk raised the corpse, it's essentially evaporating and then reforming. Currently, when a corp leaves an alliance at war, they're not able to join another, I believe. No, excuse me. When a character leaves an alliance or a corp at war, they're not able to rejoin that corp. They can join another corp in that alliance. They can join any other corps. They can make a new corp. But there is that slight restriction. I know when I was on the CSM, I pushed quite hard for stronger restrictions. How do you candidates feel about, for instance, wars not following an individual per se, but if a individual were to leave a corp at war, they could not join any corp until that particular war payment cycle is over?
Can I ask a question before I answer that?
Sure.
If a war decker declares war and then leaves the corp that declared war, does he have the war also follow him?
Not follow him, but prevent him from joining other corps. So I'll say, yeah, it cuts both ways. So like a maximum of 7 days, minimum of, I guess, one. Allie, how do you feel about it?
I mean, I would be all right with increasing some of that. I think the penalty that makes the most sense is something like, oh, well, you're still a legal target for, say, 24 hours or something like that. Because that it solves one semi-exploit involving freighters, and it would provide a little bit of heft and significance, but it also pairs with the Concord. When you fail to renew a war deck, the war is still on for 24 hours. So when you leave a corp, it's exactly like failing to renew the war deck. But I wouldn't go too much further than that, because of something kind of related to what Monk said. If my corp gets decked and I find their response to it objectionable, it should be, I should be able to leave and go somewhere else without, compromising my ability to play the game for too long. Whether that's, certainly there's the vanishing and reforming thing to worry about, but there's also on the other side of the coin, if it were harder for a corp to disband and reform and have all of its infrastructure set up the same way, that would work somewhat. If the corp has POCOs, that would be a problem. But it's, you do need to think about the person who may want to leave the corp having discovered that the corp is not for them based on this stress.
Sorry.
I think Allie and I, or Allie thought she was going to disagree with some of my things, but I agree there. I don't think that you should really burden people with very heavy penalties for leaving a corporation that they are unhappy with, even if that, like, during a wartime. And I'm thinking of newer players, myself included. When I first started playing the game, I would join a corporation, you know, and it just wasn't what they sold it to be, or for whatever reason, and I went elsewhere. And I feel like a lot of people are like that, especially when they first start playing. And I don't want to make them suddenly feel like, well, I can't even look for a new corporation for 7 days, so I might as well not even log in for 7 days. That's a terrible path to go down. I never want to discourage anyone from logging in and doing something. So the 24-hour thing that Ali mentioned, I hadn't thought of personally, but that's a very reasonable compromise. But anything more than that, I feel, is just discouragement to doing things, to logging in and playing. And that's the exact opposite approach that I feel like we should be taking to getting people to interact with one another.
Mike?
I hate to ask this, but can you re-ask the question? Just, I want to make sure I'm answering it, not an alternate to it.
Yeah, so the question is, how do you feel about either wars following individuals or restrictions on joining corporations for up to 7 days, depending on how long the war is on the corp that you just left? So in other words, if you drop corp, you're either remain a legal target for a certain period of time, as Ali suggests, or specifically what I was thinking of in my head was not being able to join not only the corp that you left, but any other corp for a certain period of time.
No, I think I'm still in favor of the 24-hour. Otherwise, what would happen when you had a re-upped war, one that ran 2, 3, 5 weeks? Would you expect the player to carry the full 5 week, or are you just asking for a different
specifically,
length?
I specifically stipulated it would go no longer than the current period of the war deck. So if it was day 3 of a 1 week war deck, it would be 4 more days. If they renewed, it would still just be 4 more days.
I'm against it. It's one thing to be attacking and have a 24-hour follow, but some people don't want to do the PvP, and they do have the right to go back to NPC Corp or whatever, not get war decked and carry the weight for 24 hours. But for a lot of people, this would be saying, I deck you and you don't get to play for the next week, which is one quarter of a month subscription. I'm against it.
Monk?
I feel like not being able to join another corp for a longer period like that doesn't add anything to the game. I think it's just needlessly punitive. I feel like some amount of being able to shoot people who dropped, you know, 24 hours would be viscerally satisfying, for one thing. I'm probably reasonably balanced. It is only a day. But I feel like either one of these solutions are kind of ham-fisted, and I would really rather try and work on somebody's incentive and somebody's motivation rather than just imposing needless rules. So sort of my big thing, you know, my central topic on Wardex is that it's actually about the corp system. So I would really rather see, you know, more reasons to stay, you know, more investment instead. Basically, I would rather see better corporations as the solution to dissolving corps or things like that.
Yeah, right on. That's actually a perspective I've never heard before, but it's quite interesting. And it's something for me to think about, because I ran on Wardex and I hadn't really looked at it from that perspective. But yeah, you bring up a good point. Next question. What role do you see Wardex playing in the general EVE Online ecosystem? Cyan this time around.
So obviously, Wardex only really play a part in high sec. And they are a very necessary tool for new and old, veteran and new players alike. Whether you're like Psychotic Monk, you know, we would not consider him a new player whatsoever, but he spends all of his time in high sec, and he likes to war deck people, which is great. And it gives him things to do and interact with people, and a new corporation that may have just formed with some friends or something, and they're trying to find their foot in the world or their place in the world. The war decks are giving them the ability to carve out a little niche for themselves, to take what they need or what they want from someone else. And it's absolutely important that it has, a place in high sec for people to use effectively. And I feel like its purpose is for, like what I said, you're taking something from someone to reclaim something of your own. I don't like its sole primary focus being on just farming kills. I think that it should focus and sort of lean more towards, the getting and the taking and the destroying, for a personal or corporation alliance level gain.
Mike?
I agree that war decks are mainly for high sec, although they're not always targeted at high sec organizations. A lot of groups will deck a null or low and then just camp Jita and take them down as they foolishly try to move materials in or out. So there is another aspect that touches on other parts of space. The only group that I don't think plays with war decks too much is actually wormhole space, but I'm willing to be corrected on that. It's just, why bother if you're shooting in wormholes? You just shoot them. I agree with Cyan that it is a necessary tool. But when Alex asked me to come on this, he said, what do you know about war decks? And the first thing I said was, I think they're broken, but I can't tell you how to fix them. I'd like to see them worked on and modified some. And I know when I like an idea and I know when I don't like an idea, as you saw from the last question that I fielded, I can say, no, I don't like that. But I do not want to remove war decks from high sec. That is not what I'm saying. It's just I want to see them modified and tweaked so both sides have stakes in the game. Both sides can get bit by it.
Mangala?
In some ways, a good way to show, our dear little new bros combat within a legal framework in EVE before they get dragged off to Nullsec or before they get enticed out to Lowsec, either by large groups or by small corps promising them the earth. It is a good way to get them into the combat side of EVE, but also as a way for entities to resolve grievances amongst themselves or just to prove how superior they are to an entity that they believe they are superior to. Just as a method of competition, especially for those people living in high sec, they are excellent on that score, despite any issues they may have.
Psycho?
The current place of Vortex is pretty much essentially about the kills. There are occasional reasons to bash POS or hit POCOs, but the vast majority is about the kills, which means that it's kind of about a corporation's life cycle. It is my firm belief that there are corporations that, not meaning to, with the best intentions, are honestly bad. And I don't mean that like in a trolling and a haha you're awful way, but I mean like that they hurt the game by taking in new members and misleading them, and sort of curtaining them off from whatever fun they might want to have because they get told that no you must mine or no you're not good enough for this or I think this is a huge problem, and I think Wardex currently are the best way to destroy these corps and to free their members to do better things. I would like to see Wardex come into their own as a tool for actual corporate disruption, to actually sort of achieve more strategic goals simply than like the liberation of your opponent's line members, like harvesting the sweet drops off of someone's extremely pimp golem. I think this is, these are well possible within existing mechanics, and I think it's something that we should really be trying to actively push for as something that we can accomplish. But I think that's really right now. It's a very, very secondary purpose, and I'd like to see it worked on more.
Allie?
Wardex, I feel like their purpose is that they are the only means for organizational conflict in HiSec. By which I mean, I can, in HiSec, AWOC someone, or I can suicide gank someone, but those are actions that either I take or me and my friends take. Wardex are, my corp is going to beat up your corp. And, you know, we have a beef, we're going to fight it out. They allow... You know, certainly mechanically they open up things like, I want to take out your POS, I want to take out your POCO, whatever. But at its core, they are the only way for two HiSec corps to have a beef with each other. And that, I guess that's sort of like how I look at them philosophically. I would agree that they're not necessarily serving that function right now, but that's where I'd like to see them go.
Well, I mean, like, outside of Suicide ganking and Wardex are really the only two mechanics you have that makes HiSec, you know, safer rather than perfectly safe. Like, it's a really pivotal mechanic when you think about it, because if you took Wardex away, you would really have no way to touch people in HiSec, and you would, like, instantly get this theme park-esque kind of thing going on.
Yeah, and in
there
particular...
are also safaris, but... Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. That's a good point. The options are very limited.
Extremely limited. And it's one of those things that really defines the fact that HiSec is safe or not safe.
Yeah, makes sense. I mean, they are, I think, confusing to new players. They have all these issues in terms of, you know, how do they actually work in corpse vanishing and reforming. But at their core, they allow my corp to actually... be in a fight and be an existential threat to someone else's corp, not just me or me and my friends.
Well, that's just it. Like, the mechanics as they exist now are a lot better than they used to be, but still leave a lot to be desired. But, like, at that philosophical core, as you were speaking, like, you need that way to be able to reach out and touch people in HiSec.
I would agree. But speaking of reaching out and touching people, safe or not safe, and, like, Monk touched on the role of breaking bad corps, basically. Wardex are often seen by certain groups of EVE players as a pure griefing tool. And they want nothing to do with PvP, they want nothing to do with any other players affecting them in a negative way. They don't buy the vision of EVE as a competitive game where groups compete over limited resources or limited attention or limited space or limited market volumes, all kinds of stuff like that. They just want to play what they see as their game without any interference from anybody else. And there's also a camp that see Wardex as one of the main tools that drives new players away from the game. So how do you address I'll just call the general grief question?
I think I go first on this one.
Oh, yeah, excuse me, Mike.
It's my turn. it's funny because I'm the Care Bear and the HiSec guy, and I disagree with that statement that Wardex are a griefing tool. They can be used for griefing, but hell, so can TeamSpeak. So, sorry. The thing is that it is a tool to make HiSec something other than the theme park that was mentioned a few minutes ago, and I totally agree with that. I don't want HiSec to be totally safe. I think when you have repeated echoing Wardex on one newbie corp just to see how long it takes until they break, it's almost at the level of griefing through not the fact that you're declaring war, but just it becomes harassment, especially when somebody's large corp is using T3s to pop guys who can't fly anything bigger than a Rifter. You know, and that is just padding the kill boards. But then they can always, there are outs. You can drop and go to a NPC corp, and then it doesn't happen. So there is a way around it. If you want to theme park, then the only way that people are going to be able to go after you is through ganking. So there is a workaround, but if you want to take the benefits that come with corp membership, you should accept the risk. And the risk of being in a corp is war decks. It is a give and a take, and I'm totally in favor of it. The people who complain that it's a griefing mechanism are people who probably still don't get what EVE is about, that there is a give and a take, risk for risk, and that's how it, this is the balancing point that allows you to be in high sec and feel semi-safe. But no, I'm not about shutting it down.
And Mike just made the Noir recommended ballot, so good job. That's a great answer. It's rare. I'll move on in a second, but I do want to give Mike a bit of props here. He is a casual player. He's not like a full-on Care Bear, but he's as close as that group has come to a serious candidate in many, many elections. And I want to thank him for coming into the Den of Wolves and speaking so articulately about the topic from a perspective that, you know, sometimes PvPers don't get to hear outside of Forum Tinfoil. So, props, Mike. All right.
Thank you very much.
What's your view on this question? You take the griefing side of things a bit more seriously than many people on the offensive side. So, how do you view this question?
Well, I mean, we use the word griefing, but what we're doing isn't actually grief. I mean, barring you know, the odd exception that usually gets that usually catches a ban or at least a warning. But like, if I were playing StarCraft, having my worker line harassed by mutas would be extremely fucking frustrating. But that doesn't make it griefing. It's a valid gameplay tactic. Just because I choose that I want to, I just want to build structures and I'm not actually here to, fight off the Zerg or whatever, you know, that's you're kind of in the wrong game for that. You know, there are games for that. There most certainly are games for that. I'd recommend Civ in that case, that sort of a thing. Simply being interacted with is not griefing. Should these things be, you know, should the people who want to simply be left alone be allowed to? That would be fine if there were a segregated server. Oh, well, actually, in fact, I would welcome them to go to the test server for that purpose. But EVE is built as a PvP game, and it's it has to stay true to those roots in order to maintain its uniqueness. You know, otherwise it just becomes, you know, Star Trek Online. This is one of the only games that combines the unique factors of, you know, competition on many levels and you know, not being terrible. So we need to, EVE Online as it is a game that needs to be protected and nurtured. There is no alternate. So I think it's pretty important that we keep these sorts of competition.
Ali, you're also very focused on new players. How do you see this griefing question?
So it's sort of complicated, right? On the one hand, I would absolutely agree that war decks tend to be a confusing and frustrating experience as a new player, particularly if you're encountering them with a group of other people who don't, you know, otherwise know about war decks. I think better education and awareness is a part of that, but that's not necessarily something that can happen from CCP. I think changing the other things that are available in HiSec is probably the best route to sort of avoiding the grief factor of war decks, in that if you have organizations that are more coherent, more involved with each other, etc., in HiSec, you have war decks, and you have war decks actually functioning as that kind of organizational conflict. Being war decked isn't going to be any weirder than if you live in, you know, NPC NullSec and someone else moves into your system. and you kind of tussle it out until you either become friends or become enemies. So I would look towards changes that make that part of HiSec stronger. And some of that might be, you know, giving the defenders, allowing people to spend resources to build up defenses for themselves or whatever. You know, I can imagine having an advantage to being in a system that you've upgraded in some way so that you get a little bit of extra automatic safety, your heads up, or whatever.
HiSec farms and fields?
Yeah, HiSec farms and fields. It's deployables. They're not just for NullSec. That kind of thing could, I think, be valuable and interesting. But in general, yeah, they're confusing. Yeah, they're griefy. Yeah, they're frustrating. But I don't think that means that Wardex are bad. I think that means the rest of HiSec has some issues, kind of like what Monk was talking about earlier.
For the record, I support ESS if they give you a suspect flag when you try to access it. That would be hilarious in HiSec.
Yeah, I said that to CCP.
I love more ways to become suspect.
Yeah, really? Mangala?
Wardex as a whole are not a griefing tool. No way. Anyone who believes that may as well just leave Eve now. You know, Wardex as a griefing tool is a ridiculous idea. Yeah, well, I know people get griefed by repeated Wardex.
Yeah,
I mean, there was a story
it's not...
on Reddit a few weeks ago. One guy basically was being griefed constantly by this one dude who had real life connections to him. Every corp this guy joined, this other dude and his friends would up and Wardex it.
That's
with
harsh.
The demand, get rid of this guy or we'll keep killing your dudes. So over and everywhere this guy went, he was being followed around. So yeah, there is a griefing aspect, but out and out saying that that Wardex are a grief mechanic, especially to Nebros, sorry, I just don't see it.
You make an interesting point where you don't see it as the primary reason, but the aspect, the ability of people to grief with Wardex, using Wardex to grief people, the fact that you can twist the Wardex into actually griefing somebody, like, is that something that should exist within the overall framework of Wardex, or should it be solely a consensual kind of thing, you know, for example?
That it exists is just how Eve is. You know, people will use whatever tools they are provided with by CCP to, you know, make a point to somebody. And if that point is repeatedly following them around, getting them kicked out of corps or things along those lines, then so be it. Yeah, it's annoying to that player, but they sign up to Eve, you hear the stories about Eve, you have to expect these things to happen.
Yep, and it's sort of, if that player's in that situation, maybe he needs to look at stronger corps, ones that can, you know, take
exactly,
the heat.
Exactly, definitely.
Basically.
Find the groups that are willing to fight back properly, that will not turn around and take these threats on face value, that will step to the guys saying it. I mean, there is plenty of them out there, and they're not just merc ops, they're not just groups like RVB. There's many small groups out there that just seem to declare war, they get on with what they do, you know, they fight back, and they do well. I mean, back when I first started getting into PvP properly, I brought some guys over from Warhammer, and we set up our own little corp, you know, the typical HiSec corp, mining mission in. Although, because we came from a PvP game, we wanted to PvP. We had a corp at the time come up to us, they wanted to take our POS. You know, they were like, okay, give us a bunch of ISK, or we'll shoot your POS. We're like, okay, yeah, shoot us. So, you know, we got ourselves together, we manned up, we went for them. We didn't see it as griefing or anything. We went out there in our tier 1 shit fit holes and bloodied their noses. We came away winning the ISK war. They basically, you know, stepped back, left us alone, and it was brilliant. So there's many corps out there that do that, you know, that fight back. You just never really hear about them.
Cyan, and close out this question for us.
I'm starting to think that Ali is accessing my notes that I made on this earlier. But I agree in many ways. But I feel like the main problem with Wardex and griefing in particular isn't... So I feel like you should be able to Wardex someone to your heart's content forever and ever and ever. I personally feel like it's kind of lame. Especially with today's mechanics, it leans on the side of griefing, but you should be able to do it because the defender, the person being war decked, should have options in response. The defender should be able to, you know, have some incentive to fight and should be able to do something that gives them meaningful reason to get engaged. And that's, you know, the farms and fields idea kind of comes into play with that. You want people to be invested in where they are and what they're doing so that when they get war decked, they want to fight. They really want to protect it. They don't want to just disband. Again, I feel like we need to be encouraging people to do things rather than discouraging them. You know, we don't want them to stay docked. So I feel like you should be able to war deck someone all the time if you want, if that person has things that they can respond with. And right now the best response is to not do anything, and that's not good. So we need a few tweaks here to sort of pull constant war decks that are maybe considered griefing right now into an area where they could be really fun and engaging and, you know, add a lot of new gameplay, perhaps.
Can I tag one last thing in, Alex?
Sure.
Real fast. I think Allie had a really good point. I just want to reinforce it because good points need that sort of thing, regardless of who says it. Maybe the issue isn't the war deck being griefing, but the fact that there's not enough education out there as to the mechanics and what all the options are and that sort of thing, that new players, or the first time you get decked, you panic and immediately start screaming griefing rather than being able to know what the hell's going on. A lot of griefing things aren't really mean. It's just the player who is the quote griefer has more information or is better educated on the mechanics of the game than the victim.
Can I counter that by saying that anytime a new player faces anything that they don't understand, their response is generally to read up about it anyway, so why would this be different?
Well,
you would be surprised how often that's not the case.
Doesn't understand or what the quote unquote griefer is doing is legitimate, but still disrupting the griefy, I guess, their play style, and they're always gonna cry foul in that regard.
I don't have the most up to date numbers, but it seems that when there's an adversarial thing going on that a new player doesn't understand, like for instance, another player is acting upon them versus a new NPC that they find or something, they feel much more overwhelmed, and they're not as apt to go read up on that sort of thing. And in fact, you know, having to go outside the game to read up on basic stuff is maybe not the best goal to shoot for either.
That's what I'm saying. It's just education would do a lot to alleviate some of the complaining. There'd still be complaining, but I think, and this goes to the new player experience and that sort of thing, we need to teach them better what the hell's going on.
Strongly agreed. Not to speak out of turn, but I think our best tool right now for getting new players involved is to, you know, is mentoring and to have someone take them under their wing. But that doesn't, that, you know, we don't have the infrastructure or the numbers or the want to do that. That's not really effective. We're letting a ton of players just sort of flounder when they could be doing awesome stuff, and instead they feel like they're just getting repeatedly kicked in the teeth until they leave.
Next question.
All right, and final question that I'll be asking, we'll see how much time we have. If, depending how this discussion goes and how much time we've got, maybe I'll have each of you guys ask questions of one another. Generally speaking, do you guys see this as a realistic CCP priority? You know, what's your expectation of being able to get things done in the next year if you were to get elected? And we'll start with Monk on this one.
I think that there are some higher priority targets that CCP is probably already working on. You know, things that affect a larger portion of the player base. I do feel, though, that this, you know, this is very fundamental. This is a very common, you know, a very common experience and starting ground for players just coming into the game, and it absolutely does deserve some attention. I'd love to say that that I think this could get attention, but in light of the other stuff going on, I think probably the best I could hope for is just to actually try and give CCP, you know, the being that they don't let their employees play this sort of game, you know, just to give them the information, make sure they have good perspective on these things and are, you know, keenly aware of its importance. So yeah, I would be pouring this into their ear constantly. And I do expect it would get hit at some point in the relatively near future. But if you're asking, you know, if this is something that I expect we would see change on in, you know, in the next expansion or so, maybe I'm just bitter, but I feel like that might be a little bit too much to ask.
Allie, I suppose you would know, but do your best not to break the NDA.
I mean, in terms of priority, I think I'll go with Monk's kind of medium priority. I can see, you know, I think the stuff about kind of what I'm going to call like ownership of space in HiSec, you know, the kind of stuff that makes HiSec a more interesting place to live and a more interesting place to have even kind of end game stuff going on in, I think that's very high priority for CCP. Because I think those kinds of mechanics are the kinds of mechanics that will do the most for the game and for people interacting with it who aren't necessarily in a big group or in NullSec or, you know, what have you. I think they work in NullSec, they work in HiSec. They should happen. In terms of just addressing Wardeck mechanics themselves, that's the kind of thing that I would pitch at devs when they come in saying, you know, hey, we have a little bit of extra time, or hey, we want to, you know, we want to do something else in this area, or whatever. So I'd put that as kind of my medium priority thing, but the actual mechanical changes that I think would make Wardeck more meaningful, those are pretty high priority.
Sorry?
Well, you know, the most recent minutes were just released today after a long, long wait, and in those minutes we saw CCP and CSM talking about sovereignty and stuff, and that's been a big issue for quite a while now. And so when we take something like HiSec war mechanics, it may not be something that CCP is looking to do right now, but it's something that I feel like with enough people and enough sort of presence in the community and enough pressure from CSM, really good changes can happen in the future. And as a CSM candidate and a representative, I would certainly lean on CCP for getting these things done as soon as they can, as soon as they're able, and making sure that they don't forget about these things.
Mangala?
Realistically, I can't see anything happening in the immediate future. I'm basically with Monk and Ali here. It's like, you know, mid to long term type things. Once, you know, they get past some of the other issues that they want to look at in the future. I would love them to look at Wardex and give them a real solid, you know, pass again. I mean, some of the work done with Retribution was great, but can we have more?
Well, after the train wreck was put back on the rails, yeah, it came out pretty good.
Yeah, Retribution was more of a reset than a full buff to Dex, I would say. Because they were in a pretty bad state after Inferno.
It fixed all the major problems with it, but like it still never really reworked anything remotely close to the core concept.
Alright, well, we do have a bit of time.
Boy.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, Mike. I forgot now that Mangala's in the rotation. Sorry, man.
Mike,
Azariah, tackle this baby.
Okay, to a certain extent, I agree. I laughed at one point when Ali said, when the devs come out and say, hey, we have some extra time. In my experience, that doesn't happen often enough. But then again, that means that they're actually working. So it'd be nice. That's one of the reasons why I highlighted education a few minutes ago, was that it would be a way to address some of the pain points without going directly after the mechanics of war decks. If they're better understood, then there'll be less complaining about them. People will be able to work within the rules that CCP actually intends to have happen, which hardly ever happens anyways. So if we focus on the new player experience, have some sort of lessons in-game stuff so you don't have to go to a third party to find out how the game runs, then that might be something that is easier done by a different team rather than forming an entire team to redo war decks again, but by the new player experience people, and just put this as a bug in the rear for a repair they can make that will help one of the pain points. It is a good idea because anything that gives us player retention makes the game better. So if we can keep players in and not have them driven off by a mechanic that works, but just, if you're new to the game, scares the hell out of you and you go, screw it, I'm going back to WoW, then that would be a good thing to be able to keep them longer, let them know what's going on, what their options are, and what they could do about it.
All right, so for our final 10 minutes here, I want to give each of the candidates the opportunity to ask one other candidate a specific question. All right, well, we'll go with Mike here. Mike, why don't you start things off?
Okay, this is an attacker. It's just curious to see how it's going. I'll preface it with, I have one of my other characters just joined a newbie corp at the request of the organizer of the newbie corp because they were being inundated with war decks. And this is a bunch of people who are just mining and missioning. And when I joined in, they had 8 decks on them. And as they've been canceling, new ones have been added on. So either somebody's sending a lot of money to 2-bit mercenary groups. I say that because Noir isn't involved. So obviously they're just going for 2-bit mercenary groups.
But I'm
or
you're already on the ballot, man.
I know my audience. But I'm just curious what the normal number for high-sec deckers is. So I want to ask Monk, how many decks do you have active right now?
Well, because I have been without internet for a couple of weeks here, and I have 0 decks. When I have been war decking as my primary activity, I try to have, not a number of decks, but I try to have about 1,000 targets a week. I find the math sort of breaks down that only about 10% of players are sort of online doing things. And I find that that a war deck will scare off about half of them, scare them just straight into station or offline. So that gives me about 50 targets, which means I can manage that realistically on my watch list, and between 3 or 4 scout alts I can go see who's doing what, if anybody's putting themselves in a position where they can be attacked. That sort of thing. And also, being that the watch list, last time I checked, topped out at 1,024, it's a nice convenient number.
Follow-up question, Monk. How many high-sec souls have you consumed in an FFG of blood and fire and tears? Rough estimate.
I'm actually trying to currently beat the record of the Aztec Empire. So I will let you know. I will put up a celebration on belligerentundesirables.com as soon as I do that.
Excellent.
Allie just stepped out for food, so Cyan, why don't you ask the next question?
Well, I don't mean to pick on Monk, but seeing as you're the only person here that really does this, you know, constantly. Or you know
yeah,
what?
Sure.
No. I will give this one to Mike.
Mangala.
No. This one's going to Mike. Okay, yeah, Mangala sort of, but not really. Anyway, Mike, what sort of incentives would you give people, the defenders perhaps being the main focus of this question, to incentivize them to actually fight rather than drop their corporation or dock up or whatever?
Part of it is when I joined this corporation, they had about 80 members. this newbie corp, and the average age of the characters was under 2 months. Most of them were joining in after the BR5 battle. And so they were panicking, and it was amazing. They've managed to keep most of their membership. And the person who was the leader and was a much more experienced player, but a high set care bearer, asked my advice, and I said, start on docking in Desi's with friend or foe missiles and just, like, use the goon tactics of the original goons, not the modern goon tactics, but how they first won wars when they were young. You throw enough rifters at somebody and you start to scare the hell out of them. You know, if you lose 15 rifters and they lose one T3, you win. And just, I said, that's the thing, is you got to be willing to fight back. So I think that we need to have this education, have this understanding that, yes, sometimes you got to kick them back in the teeth, or else there are people who are always demanding some sort of Dane guild and say, pay us this and we'll go away. I don't know if Monk does that sort of activity. I didn't ask that one. But to a certain extent, I'm totally willing to give somebody a fight and say, I will fight you, or I will play one of my alternative characters who isn't in my corp. And if I feel like blue-balling you, that's another option. Those are the main two options for defenders. I want more. It shouldn't come to run away or fight someone who's far more experienced than you and die over and over on their swords, hoping you dull the blades by just scraping it on your bones long enough. There's got to be another option. But as I said to Alex when I signed on to this, I know it needs fixing, but I personally cannot tell you what the right fix is. If you present one to me, I can say good idea, bad idea, and take it apart. But I haven't found a good answer that I like yet. Just I know I want more teeth, more things for the defenders. I really like what Ali said about some sort of deployable, something to make your home worth fighting for. Because right now, the other thing they did was they said a lot of them seem to be doing it in Galente space. They upped and moved to the far side of Amar. And half the war decks dropped in the next week because the war deckers couldn't be asked to travel that far.
Monk, Ali's back, so have at it.
A variation of what I was going to ask just got asked. So I'm actually going to put this out to anybody that wants to bite it. Now, you may disagree with me, but it is very strongly my opinion that that mentoring is the best way to get information and to get tools in the hands of new bros in this game. And other than just going and doing it and encouraging my experienced friends to also do it, I was wondering if anybody had any ideas on, you know, systematic ways that we could strongly encourage mentoring. And I don't necessarily mean, you know, like CCP will hand you a Plex if you're, you know, if you, you know, you help with this program, but like, can any of you think of ways that we could start encouraging, especially in high sec, newbies and vets to be in the same organization and to be spreading their knowledge around more than is happening right now?
Can I take a bit of that one?
Yeah, but keep it under 10
please
minutes.
I'd love you to.
Very short. The Angel Project. The hardest thing Sindel's had to do with the Angel Project is just getting the newbies to come for the help. So it isn't, are there mentors there? It's how the hell do we connect the mentors to the students? And that's the biggest problem. I've been active on the Angel Project for a long time, and that's our issue. We can't get to the newbies.
All right. And Mangala, do you have your question?
To be honest, no. Seriously. Having missed the first hour of this, it's hard to know what to ask, who to ask. It's really kicking me in the teeth. Especially as I might end up asking something you've gone and covered yourselves.
Yeah. You can go ahead and we can edit it out if it's a problem.
For the benefit of those that are going to listen to Turtles editing magic, Mangala missed about the first, I would say, 45 minutes of this, and we have edited in his answers to the questions. But he, like, for the second half of it, we just decided to roll on. So,
to his credit, it wasn't his fault he was late.
Yeah, it was a bit of miscommunication. It's not a problem. Ali, question?
Yeah, this is one for Mangala, actually. How would you how do you feel RVB's experience of Wardex, especially, you know, I know you have one ongoing against E-Uni, differs from the experience of Wardex of smaller groups such as the ones that Psychotic Monk usually works with?
When you can blob the hell out of your enemy, you know, Wardex don't really matter. I mean, there's no reason to them when you can put, what, 200 guys onto the field. It's in high sec, there's not very many people that can counter those sort of numbers. And even the people that are organized to give it a go, we either blob the hell out of them or, you know, we just ignore them and carry on about our day.
Makes sense.
All right, well, thank you guys for turning out. We're going to give each of the candidates a quick elevator pitch for their candidacy, and then we'll wrap it up. Let's go down the list here. Allie?
Vote Allie Ayres. I was one of the most active members of CSM8. I'm, at this point, a knowledgeable, competent CSM who will continue to advocate for new bros and for small groups. You've heard some of that on this podcast. I have similar views about space ownership and stuff for LOSEC and NullSec, and I would love to see this game become richer and more diverse and more interesting on all different levels and areas of space.
Cyan Aviander?
Yeah, like I've said before and many times in my threads and various other places, I'm very much focused on encouraging the small and medium gang warfare, as well as making sure that people are logging into EVE and doing things and interacting with people. And like I've said many times on this podcast, I never want to discourage anyone. I think it's very important that EVE as a game grow, and in that process, encourage people to play it. And Wardex have a really great purpose, have a really great interactivity between players, as long as people can have fun on both sides. And it's very important that we reach that point.
Mangala? Solaris?
Basically, you should vote for me because I've got a pretty rounded out knowledge of EVE, especially activities in HiSec and especially HiSec warfare. Not as much as others, but it is something that, you know, I've been doing for a few years now. I do like to try and advocate for changes that are beneficial to HiSec as a whole and the wider EVE community. So you definitely should be looking at voting for me.
Mike?
Now, as I said near the beginning, I represent the casual players, the people who have real lives, real wives, other things to do, and can't sit for 4 hours at the computer. So I play in HiSec, I mission, I mine, I do some T2 production and sales. I'm a generalist because I don't have time to focus on one thing for long periods of time, and I'm a bit of ADD on that. I'm the right person if you're on the more peaceful side, and that's why I started this with saying I'm a bear in a cage full of tigers. But if you want a representative on that side of the equation, then I'm the right one to vote for, Mike Azariah.
Psychotic Monk.
I'm Psychotic Monk, and you should vote Mobile Tractor Unit for CSM. But because Mobile Tractor Unit is not running, you should vote me. I am one of the few candidates, frankly, ever, who is running on the platform of HiSec content creation. There are precious few of us representing this playstyle. It's essential to the flavor of EVE that it be carried on. And not only that, but I am someone who lives and breathes the mechanics, the nitty-gritty of how combat, how competition in HiSec works. So I'm a very, very strong candidate to represent that quite well. So
alrighty. I want to thank all the candidates for joining us this evening. It was a great discussion. If you're listening to this, make sure that you're subscribed to the podcast to make sure you catch the next one and to catch our regular episodes, which come out about every other week. And yeah, check out our website, check out the latest show, check out the latest poll, and then click that subscribe button, man. This is going to be some great content. As good as this panel was, I think we've got even better one coming up next week to sort of be the grand finale, which is all about the EVE community and the direction of EVE Online's development. That's going to be a really awesome discussion. Make sure you don't miss out. Alright, that's it for Declarations of War. I am Elixir Card. That's Ninja Turtle.
Yeah. I'm Psychotic Monk, but Mobile Tractor Unit.
And make sure you vote no matter what.
Yes. Yeah. Go out and vote.
Yeah, that's important.
No matter which candidates you support, support the process, support the community, support
the future. And please don't wait for
CSM
to advertise how to vote, because you may never vote that way.
Good luck, good hunting, listeners.